I made that.
I want you to show me. I want to know what love is. I know you can show me.
Foreigner with their very decent hit. I want to know what love is. Good tune. I don't know why that was in my head today. It has nothing to do with Friday. The past couple weeks, we've kicked off Friday with something Friday related. Maybe it's Foreigner Friday. No, I don't like it. We'll think of something before this show is over. In the meantime, this is live from the studio, the Daily Edition, folks. My name is Jimmy Selesky, your host on this lovely end of the week extravaganza. We have a decent amount of stuff to talk about. A decent amount of stuff to talk about. I think today, it's been a long week. It really has. Those Wednesday and Thursday shows really took a lot out of your boy. You know how difficult it is for me to sit here and have to talk about masculinity, equal pay. Do you know how much it hurts me to talk about all the positive aspects of being a masculine male and all the negative aspects of the myth of the wage gap? It hurts me to have to do that, folks. It takes a lot of energy. Sometimes I want to be more positive. And today we will do just that with the help of an ice cold Natural Light. It is Friday, of course. Lighten up. Loosen up, too. Cracking my neck. Gross. So let's open up the show with a big shout-out, a genuine shout-out to a fellow Baltimore guy who is doing really big things in the sports scene. He's a wrestler. He actually wrestled in high school during the same time period I did. This is Pat Downey, PD3, Bunky, the Lizard King, the Unassigned Assassin. Take your pick. Take your pick. Unfortunately, Pat suffered a rather heartbreaking loss in the opening round of the Olympic trials to Carter Starace, who is the NCAA Division I champion at 174 pounds this year from Penn State. So he just finished his last year of college wrestling. A Division I champion in college wrestling gets, I believe, a qualifying bid into the Olympic trials, as do several things. You can, you're a world team member at some point during the cycle, which I think is the case for Pat. He was a world team member in 2019. There's all kinds of things you can do to qualify for the Olympic trials. Pat was seated rather low, in my opinion. To face off the opening round against Carter Starace is interesting. But nonetheless, I can't seem to find the actual match. I do have a post-match interview for you to watch just to get a vibe. I got the utmost respect for this guy.
Shin, I don't know what lower leg. What happened?
No, it's just no coach, no teammate to warm up with. Mid match hit, and I just felt it. You know, my knee's been an issue, but it's fine. There's more just gas. First match, first time making scratch in 2 years, and first competition back. Is it the Olympic trials? You know, I felt like I was so much better and bigger than that guy, but you know, I felt like my gas tank wore out after the first period.
You didn't have to come out and do that. You come out and do it. What do you think that tells people about Pat Downey?
Yeah, man, I'm a competitor. Anyone, anytime, anywhere, any circumstances, you know. And sometimes you see a Pat Downey that can come out and make a world team, has more than enough gas tank to finish a match. And sometimes you see a guy that's just off the street in Baltimore, and this is that guy. And that's what I get, you know, whatever guy shows up, I'm gonna give it everything I got. And today, that's just all I had in the tank.
fight in wrestling, where do we go from here?
All the above. I'm going to grapple, maybe wrestle, definitely going to fight again. But I'm going to use this to, you know, as a catalyst, keep the snowball rolling.
So, Pat, who do you want to fight next?
No, all the Penn State guys wrestle with that high pace, heavy hands. He had a good scout with Bo and Aaron and David. He didn't hang too hard on his right tie to give me my pass. A couple times he did touch me too long. I went for it, and he was real good at clearing it. So, no, he was a lot weaker than I thought he'd be. But his pace was high, and that's what the cardio, that's what you feel out there when you're moving. Got to react to this guy constantly. So credit where it's due. He had a good pace.
How can a street guy from Baltimore compete how you compete? Are you just a freak?
Yeah.
How are you able to do this?
Yeah, I'm a freak. I'm just tough as shit, and I believe in myself.
It's real.
I've got given talent. Me too. I says if you knew the half, you'd be even more amazed. So, you know.
Pat, who you want to fight next?
Be good to get that Christian Eccles back. Show him how to properly prepare for a fight. Got to get into camp, though, you know? One thing at a time.
You still training with Pena?
Anybody doubt that guy's from Baltimore? I mean, god damn. I'm trying to get that level of Baltimore-ness going for myself. But yeah, shouts out, Pat. Sounds like it was a tough loss. I was hoping to see you get to the Olympic team. That would have been sweet. That would have been good for Baltimore. Obviously, there was another Maryland guy in that same weight class, Aaron Brooks from Hagerstown. He, also from Penn State, was a national champion this year. But I think at the one weight class above this Carter Storace guy. So there's two guys in this bracket that were Division I champions this year from the same school. Penn State is incredibly dominant. But the main takeaway there is, he says he's going to go back to fighting as well. He definitely plans on fighting again. I'd like to see that. Obviously, the loss to Christian Eccles was disappointing. It's tough. I mean, look, mixed martial arts, wrestling, I'm not quite as accomplished of a wrestler as Pat, you know. But I tend to believe that if you're training for the Olympic world team and mixed martial arts, it's tough to get those two things going at the same time. And Pat is my age. Actually, here's something I found out, which makes me want to look back at my own life. I went to Towson High School. Pat, I think, was around. He went to Lock Raven for a while, which is like right next door to us. He went to Mount St. Joe's. He went to ultimately North County, I think, was his junior and senior year in Anne Arundel County, like Glen Burnie area, Pasadena or something like that. So he's been all around. I was in Towson on the north side. North side? Boy! I look at his Wikipedia page, which is something I would love to have. A Wikipedia page? Can I get a goddamn wiki? He's 2 weeks old. He was a year below me in high school. So when I was a senior, he was a junior. He's 2 weeks older than me. Not younger, he's 2 weeks older than me. Why didn't my parents think of that? Did they not know that I could have also been a freak athlete? I was young for my grade. I'm over here graduating high school before I even hit puberty. That's not how you're supposed. I mean, I had hit puberty kind of. I had like, you know, some armpit hair, you know. I couldn't tell you what my dick was looking like at the time. It wasn't impressive though. I certainly didn't have a state champion dick. when I was 17, I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve the medal when I was 17. Golly, how damn, can you imagine? I think about that sometimes. Like, I'm happy things worked out the way they did. As you can tell, I'm not, contemptuous at all. But I do sometimes think, like, geez, if my senior year was, like, when it should have been, like, if I was going and graduating high school class of 2011 as opposed to class of 2010, and I was, like, on maybe, like, the older half of that year, if I still had one more year left after my senior year, I feel like that would have been awesome. But God did not have that in the cards. And so here we are on this lovely Friday show. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. So shouts out, Pat. Dude, I'd love to see you go back to the MMA. He mentions he's going to. I think that's a better look. I think that the ceiling is higher for that, obviously. You don't have to wait. I mean, obviously, there's world competitions and stuff in wrestling, but like, the Olympics being every 4 years, I mean, that's a lot of time to invest, especially at this stage in a career, to invest the next 4 years. And then the idea that it comes down to one match in the opening round of the Olympic trials, one match. So you train for 4 years and then you lose one match and your entire 4 years of training to join the world team are for naught. That's, I don't know. The MMA seems like a much more lucrative and top heavy way to go about the next 4 years of his career. I'd love to see that. I love wrestling. I wish you the best with wrestling. Do me a favor, for those of you who are out there like, wrestling's gay, why don't you go tell him that? Tell Pat that next time you see him in Canton or something. Go out, hey man, wrestling's gay. Okay. But yeah, anytime you want to come on the studio, dude, I'm right up the road, dude. Love to have you on the show. We'll wrestle. Fuck it. I'll fucking wrestle you. See how long I can make it. How long you can make it. I'm fucking around. But seriously, come on the show. It'd be cool. Anyway, yeah. Moving into other things, let's take a look at this. Oh, this. You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
I make more than a doctor, and I capitalize off of men. You guys are my biggest fans, even if you're haters. I made over $400,000 last year, and it is all because of you. So you guys want to keep clowning on sex work? Keep it up, because if you guys just came together as a whole, as men, we wouldn't be in business. We are profiting off of you. Thank you. Keep subscribing to our OnlyFans. Keep talking shit about sex workers, because we are making so much more money, and I'm about to be at fucking a million this year. So keep it up.
Go off. Yes. Where's the lie? Moving on, folks. Nothing left to add to that, right? I mean, she pretty much sums it up. Unless, of course, see, here's the thing. That, what she just said, makes perfect sense. Perfect sense if you have lost sight of any concept of any higher values, morality, dignity, integrity, all of those things except for money. If money is the only thing in your life that holds any value, it is the only pursuit, then you have a flawless point. You have completely justified what you do. And here's the amazing thing. Here, if you like that, you'll love this. You can justify anything that you do now, as long as it makes money. As long as something makes money, as long as you make money from doing something, and that's the only thing that can be brought to the table in the discussion, not whether or not it's good for you, good for the people who consume your product, good for society as a whole, good for other people who look to you and see what you're doing and model after your behavior. All those things. Good for your future relationships, good for your future children, good for your family, good for your friendships. None of those things matter. None of those things matter. Because she made $400,000 last year, and she's about to make $1 million this year. Okay? Do I need to say that again? Any questions? That's what I thought, right? That's the only thing that matters. Well, obviously, if we're now going to take this way of thinking, then we could probably apply this to everything, like I said before, right? We could justify being just about anything. Drug dealer? Hey, man, look, you drug addicts got a problem. You need to figure that amongst yourselves, okay? Because I made $400,000 last year selling you, crack, heroin, cutting it up with fent because that maximizes my profit margin even more. I can sell more product. I can stretch product further. Yeah, sure, it's going to make you far more likely to OD and die, but hey, I'm not forcing you to buy it. That's on you, dude. You want the drugs. Look, if I don't sell them, somebody else will. So I'm making money. I'm making money. That's the only question that we're allowed to ask. Nothing else matters. You can justify anything. Slavery? Yeah, slavery? Hey, man. Look. You know how much cheaper it is to not pay these people to do the work that needs to be done that makes me money? You know how much more money I make? And a lot of you might be thinking, oh, well, that's a different example because you're... It is a different example, but it's not that different, you know? Because contrary to popular belief, European whites did not just roll up onto the shores of Africa in the 1500s, 1600s, where we rolled up to the beaches and we just saw hover cars and robot waiters and, you know, crazy Wakanda. And it was just this amazing utopia. And we were like, time to get us some slaves. And we rolled up and we chased a bunch of black guys through the jungle because we're so much faster than black guys, as you know. And we threw a net over. I got one. Put him on the boat. We're doing great, guys. This is almost too easy. That's not what happened. What really happened was we pulled up in Africa whenever we did, and there were tribes and nations or whatever you want to call them that were conquering and warring and fighting and enslaving each other and then selling these slaves to us. That was like their number one export was slaves. So we weren't necessarily going over there and enslaving people. We were probably their primary customer, which fueled the slave industry. And one could make the argument back then, hey, man, look, these people are getting conquered. They're getting enslaved anyway. I'm not the one enslaving. Look, if I don't buy these guys and transport them across the Atlantic and sell them for money, someone else will. So why shouldn't I? I'm not the one enslaving them. I'm not the one putting them to work. I'm just the guy who comes over here and says, look, here's these people are already here. We're going to take them over there. This is what happens. There's always a way to justify your situation if your only concern is, does it make money? Because honestly, based on her logic, the hypothetical slave owner guy who's trying to justify what he does wouldn't even have to go that far. All he would have to say is actually just, I make a lot of money doing this. I don't see the problem. And you go, but what about, none of those things matter. Is it moral? Is it good? Is it good for my soul? Is it good for their soul? Is it good for society? Who cares? What are you talking about? The only thing that matters is money. So I'm going too far down this argument, probably because it's almost impossible for me to imagine being this shallow-minded about what you do. It is amazing that modern feminism has gotten to this point where it's almost come full circle back to where we were 3,000 years ago. Because women for millennia have been climbing up the ladder of society, trying to prove that they are more than just a sexual object. They're not just there to please you or to have your babies or to serve you or whatever. And for millennia, they've been doing that. They got the right to vote. They're working. They're in the workforce in large part. As we discussed earlier, they're making as much money as men. They are, I promise. they're doing well. Women are doing well. And they've done so by not allowing themselves to be just seen as sexual objects, by being seen as more than sexual objects. And then somehow, and I don't understand how this works, but somehow the end game of this progress is to regress 100 or 360 degrees right back to where they started, which is you as a woman. Listen to her. I make more than a doctor. I made this much money last year. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. She is saying that for her, and she could be correct in her case. I tend to believe she probably does have a better shot at making money like this than pursuing a career as a doctor. But this goes for all women. There is more value to you in your sexuality. There's more value for you down here and here and here than up here. Why would you become a doctor? Why would you try to become a CEO? Why would you try to, God forbid, and I mean God forbid, because if there's one thing that we are never going to regress back to, even though we're going to go from, you know, women need to be able to have the right to vote, right to work, this, that, the third, you know, abortion, whatever. And then we regress all the way back to women are just completely sexual objects whose highest value is to just sell their pussy online or to men or whatever. Literally the oldest job in history. It was like the first job that was ever invented. As soon as men realized they liked fucking, and as soon as women realized men liked fucking, there's your first business. You know, so here we have the innovative women of 2024 rediscovering this for the 903 trillionth time. But regardless, the one thing that will never come back, because God forbid you get married, have children, have a loving family, make a home, grow old with a man who loves you and children that respect you and have grandchildren. No. That is the lowest form of woman, right? That the housewife, the mom, that is the lowest form of woman. You could make so much more money fingering yourself on OnlyFans. Why would you do that? Why would you have kids? Why would you get married to a man who loves you and provides for you? No. Take this dildo and shove it up your ass. Literally. Because that is true empowerment. And what does that say to girls? Do you care? No, because all that matters to you is money. And we'll get into what it says to girls, but first let's talk about the men, because you call out the men. And I agree with you. I agree with you, lady. Sex lady. I agree with you that male culture does need to elevate itself to a point where we're not simping for this type of content. I'm personally tired of seeing this content everywhere. If I want to see it, I'll seek it out myself. I'm not paying for it. But the fact that I can't just take an innocent casual stroll through the internet without being bombarded by this girl's ass or this girl's OnlyFans or whatever. Sometimes I just want to see a couple memes, you know, but we do live in a culture where this type of content has become so accessible and it is addictive. And the wiring of the male biology is to just be over, just you're overwhelmed by it. You're not supposed to have this much access to hot chicks all the time. The human brain hasn't evolved. The male brain hasn't evolved for that, especially. You know, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, there was like one hot chick in your village. And maybe one time you saw her like, step into a puddle, lift her dress up or her toga or whatever. Now you're seeing all of the hottest girls in the world every day, whatever you want to see from them all the time, at your fingertips. The male brain has not evolved for this. The human body hasn't evolved for the diet we have access to now. We haven't evolved for social media, the ability to argue with people from across the planet about stuff that doesn't even concern us, that we wouldn't otherwise know about if we lived in a time before internet. There's a lot of things going on right now that the brain has not evolved for. And one of those things is pornography addiction, male loneliness, males feeling completely useless in society, as we've talked about before. These are all things that are true. These are all things that are very easy to capitalize upon. However, men do try to speak out against that. In fact, the exact men that would try to encourage other men to stop subscribing to OnlyFans, that these women are not people that you should be, you know, that you shouldn't be patronizing these businesses. You shouldn't be jerking off to porn. You should go out there, get in the real world, meet a real woman, date her, marry her, have children, settle down, start a family, be a man. Be a fucking man. Those are the exact men that are constantly being pushed out of the conversation, silenced and called sexist, misogynist. So you're sitting here as the OnlyFans chick going, well, you know, all you men have to do is sack up and stop watching our content. Do something. And then you have men like Jordan Peterson, Andrew Tate, all these people that will come out and say, guys, literally, yeah, stop jerking off to OnlyFans. Stop jerking off to Pornhub. Fuck these bitches. Literally, fuck these bitches. They're literal whores. Go out and meet a real woman, get married, have children, be a man. And then what happens? This type of talk is toxic, blah, 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 blah. Sex work is real work, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so you're giving us the game plan of how to improve ourselves as men, but then you're removing and silencing and chastising any man who actually starts up that conversation. So there is this predatory aspect. And then again, you get back to women. Women are seeing that they have a better shot at selling pussy online, selling nudes online, selling bathwater, whatever the hell it is. And they can make more money off of that than going to college and getting a bunch of student debt, trying to get some career doing this. And of course, again, we've completely removed the option of, you know, going out and finding a husband and becoming a mother and all those other things that seem to be beautiful things to me. But they are horrible things. You must remember, those are horrible things. What is not horrible is what this chick does. So the whole thing is hypocritical. The whole thing is stupid. See, this is, again, this goes to show you. Remember that window we talked about? People call it the Overton window. And the Overton window is the range of acceptable conversation, what is accepted as reasonable. So, like, the point being, the conversation about this, what we're talking about here, where she talks about, you know, look, I make a lot of money. We have been brought to a point in society where a lot of you may not even be able to describe why you know that's wrong, but you intuitively know it's wrong. This is called being removed from who you are, being removed from your soul. You know what language is? Language is the ability to feel something and then know the correct order of sounds that your mouth makes that correspond with whatever idea you're trying to describe. So you have to learn that as a baby. You know, human beings learned how to do this. We have emotions, we have thoughts, we have feelings. We learned a way to express those ideas and feelings through language. So we've assigned letters and sounds and different things. This works the same way with vocabulary and the types of conversations we have. We don't have conversations about higher values and morality and things like that anymore in popular culture. We just don't. Those things are not valued. The idea of having a family, being married, you know, not just going around and sleeping with every single person you know or sexualizing yourself to every single person. Even saying that, they're so, it seems like such an old school thing to say. It seems like this old fashioned, like, okay, Mr. Cleaver, what are you talking about next? Mr. Rogers? But that's how far we have been removed from any concept of anything mattering beyond all the immediate instant gratification pleasures of social media validation, you know, pills, SSRIs, medication for every single problem you feel, sex with as many partners as you can to fill that void in your life. You know, working all day, every day, fuck a family, fuck kids. Just the best thing you can do is dedicate your life to somebody else's career and work for them and make a decent salary. And of course, money being the all guiding, all towering principle of life. The more money you make, the better your life is. And when you exist in that society, it's very easy to see why she can simply come on a podcast and say, yeah, you guys might have a problem with me being a sex worker and not think it's whatever, but I make a lot of money. And everybody's like, oh, damn. Oh, snap. She just said she makes a lot of money. And I guess I have no reply because I, along with everyone else in the world, have been so far removed of anything else possibly mattering. Even the conversation about higher values and morality. Even that conversation just seems so, ugh. What am I watching? PBS? So there you have it. Where's the lie? There's the lie. There's the lie. The whole thing, there's the lie. Speaking of ladies, let's take a look at this lady. Now, I'm not going to lie. And I don't want you to lie either, okay? We're not here to lie. It's not Lie Day, it's Friday. When I first saw this clip on Twitter, I did not have sound on. And I hadn't seen it all the way through with the captions, so I didn't quite understand what I was seeing. All I saw was what I believe to be a highly attractive Asian-ish woman. And I want you to tell me what you see when you watch this. So let's start from the beginning.
You look beautiful. Are you transgender? Are you like lady boys?
Are you a lady boy?
Yeah, I'm lady boy. Most of people will call me like transgender or like female. Actually, I don't mind whatever you want to call me. Shinny lady boy, shinny transgender or shinny female.
So do you see yourself as like a woman?
I want to look beautiful like woman, but as I know, I'm not a real woman. So I'm not going to call myself a woman because I am like this. So I have nothing to lie and honest.
Wow. All right. So let's get the cat out of the bag real quick, folks. We're all people here. We're all comfortable with our sexuality. This guy's pretty hot. Can we get that out the gate? Again, I'm not here to front. That guy's pretty hot. That is a pretty girl. Like a genuinely pretty girl. It wasn't until I heard the voice and, of course, the conversation that I realized that this was going to have to be something we talked about today. But you know what I like most about this video? When asked, this boy, and I can say this because this is the point of the segment here. So what do you consider yourself, transgender, lady boy? I'm a lady boy. Do you consider yourself a woman? No, I don't consider myself a woman. I want to be pretty like a woman, but I understand that I'm not a woman. I think this stuff is real big in like Thailand. I think that's like the capital of ladyboys in the world. There's a lot of them. In my opinion, Thailand has got it right when it comes to the transgender thing. This is a guy who says he's a guy, a ladyboy, who is better at presenting as a woman, looks more convincing as a woman than 98% of the transgender people I see over here. Solid 98%. And that's, I'm not even factoring in the ones that just like have a beard and like a dude's haircut and like wear a sweatpants and a flannel and are like, yeah, I'm a chick. I'm not even counting. I'm talking about even the ones that even put in the effort to attempt to look like a girl. This guy's eating your lunch. This lady boy is eating your lunch. Guys, ladies. And at no point does he ever expect you to consider him an actual woman. He lives his life as a woman. He presents himself as a woman. He probably fucks a lot of guys. A lot of straight guys. Straight guys. I still think you're gay if you have sex with that. But it's one of those weird things. It's like, at the end of the day, he still has a dick. And you're still gay. That is the true takeaway. But like, if you find yourself in a nice bar he pulls up a seat next to you at a bar, and you find yourself talking for 2 hours, doing shots of fucking Saigon Remembered or whatever, and then he invites you back to the place, and you're making out a little bit, and then things start to escalate, and then boom, you realize it's a dude at that point. If you stop at that exact point, you're not gay. You're not gay. That is entrapment. Your Honor, I am not gay. Exhibit A. How was I supposed to know? You know? Regardless, the point is, where can we find more of this type of sentiment? Because this is the type of sentiment that I feel like more people can get. Nobody has a problem with men presenting as women. Nobody has a problem with men presenting as women, living their lives as women, having sex with other men. We've been cool with that for a while. Nobody has an issue with any of that. It's when you try to change the entire face of reality for everyone else. When you try to literally change the definition of male and female that people take an issue. Where people say, hold on. I don't mind this at all. Nobody does. I have the utmost respect for this. I mean, that's got to be hard. I don't even know if I can pull off that level of hotness as a dude, much less switch genders and be that hot as a chick as a dude. That's tough. And I respect that. And again, what I respect even more is at no point does he expect you to think anything else other than, yeah, I'm a hot chick. I'm still a dude, though. Thailand, you nailed it. You nailed it. There's a couple other things I probably could get to today, or I could get to it whenever, you know? We're going to be here for a while in life. But let me just close it off with... I don't want to start something too heavy right now, but I do have something in my back pocket for that. But I just wanted you guys to see this real quick, because I really personally enjoyed this video. It's just a good just owning. This is Senator Josh Hawley chastising the Secretary of Homeland Security or whatever, Alejandro Mayorkas, in reference to the Laken Riley thing. I just thought, like, I don't even think you have to know the ins and outs of this case or this trial or impeachment or whatever just to know that this was just an owning, a flat out just a good display.
Expunged. Nothing is done to this guy. He had a criminal record to start with. He's in the country on illegal grounds. You have falsely and illegally allowed him in. He commits a crime against a child. He's not prosecuted. It's expunged. In November, get this. In November, Ibarra files an application for employment authorization. And unbelievably, on December the 9th, 2023, it's approved. So this is your policies in action, Mr. Secretary. A criminal is permitted into this country on grounds flatly not permitted, flatly contradictory to the statute. He commits a crime against a child, and then he gets a work permit. He gets a work permit. You want to know why all of the jobs in the last 2 or 3 years have gone to illegal migrants? Working people in this country can't get a job. Their unemployment rate's high. Why? Because of things like this. And then what's he do? Well, we all know. Then in February, he commits the heinous crime against Laken Riley. Is this a record that you are proud of?
Senator... you've misstated some facts.
I have read from the parole file, which you have said you don't recall, don't have, you miscited. I'm reading from it. It is right here. And I've just, pursuant to the speech and debate clause, I have just read it into the record. And the reason is, you have lied repeatedly to Congress and to the American people about this. They deserve to know. And the only way they're going to know is if I tell them. I've just told them. It's in the record now. I've read it verbatim from the parole file. Verbatim. I just want to know, why did you change your story so often? Why didn't you just answer honestly to Congressman Bishop and Senator Britt?
Senator, I am confident that justice will be vindicated in the criminal prosecution of the case.
Well, hopefully he'll get more of a trial than you got. Otherwise, there'll be no justice for anyone at all.
That last line was good. Well, hopefully he'll get more of a trial than you got. Otherwise, there'll be no justice for anyone at all. What a great display. And when you hear those details, I never got into the whole Lake and Riley thing. It just kind of... And look, I'm not saying it wasn't a big deal. It definitely was a big deal. But I just have a natural aversion to, if too many people are talking about something, I assume that some of it's going to be... whenever something is like overplayed by either side, I just, something keeps me from diving too far down the rabbit hole, because I see how certain things get, you see how things get politicized either way. And so the Lake and Riley thing became this big talking point for the right. And I figured, well, A, there's enough people talking about it that I don't need to chime in on it. And B, I'm just going to let it play out and let the truth separate from the embellishment. And then I'll see you guys at the end of the tunnel, when we can all have an objective discussion about it. But hearing this outlined the way it was, with this guy coming obviously illegally into the country, that goes without saying at this point in America, either committing a child crime here or having committed one where he was from, I don't know. But regardless, being detained, being released immediately, getting a work permit after that, and then going on to kill this girl, there's no real, like, we're not going to get into the whole immigration thing right now. It's a big topic to open up at the end of the show. But I will just say, I do not understand on any level. We can talk about the, you know, whether or not we should allow the good, hardworking illegal aliens to stay here, whatever. We can have that conversation. That can be debated at least. That is up for debate. I may disagree with you. You may disagree with me on the end outcome of our two opinions on that. But regardless, it's at least debatable. What I cannot possibly bring myself to comprehend is the idea that criminals should be given every opportunity. Because coming into the country illegally is already a crime. Apparently it's not in America, but it is. It's not, but it is. It is a crime. If you don't believe me, do me a favor. Go to Mexico right now without a passport or anything. See what happens. See what happens. Just pull up, roll into Mexico. You won't be able to fly there because they'll require a passport and whatever. So walk through the woods, find a trail, and we'll just walk into Mexico. See what happens. Do that with any country, really. Go ahead. It's a crime. You're not supposed to be doing that. That's not how countries work, like it or not. So that in and of itself is a crime, but I'm talking like criminals, like people who have committed crimes outside of that crime, because you could argue that's not a dangerous crime. Sure, okay, fine. Victimless crime. Not really, but sure, fine. For the sake of this conversation, fine. But we're talking about sex offenders, violent offenders, gang affiliations, drug affiliations, people that are legitimately dangerous to society are being afforded every opportunity and then some. They're being afforded more than, in many cases, than the average American citizen is afforded by the justice system in being allowed to not just stay here, which they already are here illegally, but then you add on the fact that they're here illegally doing more illegal shit. How do you argue for that? How do you justify that? What is going on? That doesn't make sense no matter how you slice it. Allow people to come here unvetted, unchecked, uncounted, whatever. You get in the country, you're good. And also, we don't even care if you aren't a danger to our society. And if we catch you doing something that's dangerous, if we catch you committing crimes, you know, child, whatever, we don't want to, we're more focused, we're more committed to not cooperating with ICE and their crazy, insane border policies of not allowing people to illegally cross. This oppressive policy of enforcing our sovereign borders. We are more devoted to defying them than we are to actually serving our own cities and communities that we're here to protect. Your government is more concerned with defying the laws of this land as it pertains to immigration than they are with preserving your livelihood, your well-being, your safety, and your community. It is a conscious commitment against you and for whatever it is they're doing, which we can talk about at another time. Because it's not a coincidence. It's not by accident. It's for a reason. And shit like this is the most blatant examples. They are the most blatant examples of what I'm talking about. And I just don't understand it. I would love for someone to explain to me why that makes sense. Why this should happen. Why the people who are allowing it to happen, encouraging it to happen, should not be called to task. And I think that's why they aren't called to task. I think that's why these things get swept under the rug. I think that's why instead of hearing about this, we're hearing about Trump's stupid hush money case and whatever else bullshit is going on. Meanwhile, this Mayorkas guy who's just doing his own thing, ignoring everything, following through with whatever agenda he is carrying out, nothing's going to happen to him. He's untouchable. We're so used to the idea that people are untouchable. You'll go to jail. Hey, if by the way, just to let you know, if you like underpay your taxes by a couple $100 or God forbid a couple $1,000, you're going to get audited. You're going to go to fucking jail. If you get a speeding ticket, if you blow a .09 driving, you'll get a DUI 1% over, 1/100th of a percent over the legal limit. If you stay parked somewhere too long, you're going to get a ticket. God forbid you commit a real crime, you're going to get fucked. But if you do shit like this and you're on that level, we just accept that nothing's going to happen. That's another thing about that window of acceptance. We've just accepted it, whether we know it or not. That we're fucked and they don't have to worry about it. So happy Friday, folks. My name is Jimmy Selesky. You're not so fucked after all. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Another great week of topics, I think, this week. We covered a lot. Very excited to see what we get into next week. But before then, this weekend, Sunday, we'll have a Live from the Studio podcast for you. This is not Live from the Studio podcast. This is The Daily Show. But myself and Eric Glazer will bring you the podcast. That podcast has been running for 8 years and counting. We are on episode 320-something at this point, 324 maybe. We're going to have Dom back on, my brother Dom Selesky, TikTok extraordinaire, along with my cousin Nick DiCarlo from the Slippery Stallions podcast. Third time's a charm. He had to unfortunately postpone the past couple times for various different debacles in his life. But he should be here this Sunday afternoon, and we'll talk about a bunch of stuff. It's always a good time. As I said before, The Daily Show, we have topics, we have stuff we want to address, the podcast, the weekend show. We're kicking back, we're hanging out, it's a Saturday, it's a Sunday, relax, all right? It is what it is, but it's always a good listen. So at LFTS Podcast across the board, follow us on Instagram, hit us with a subscribe on YouTube, please, if you haven't already. Throw us a like, leave a comment, whatever you want us to talk about, something else, whatever it is, just let us know, stay connected. I enjoy bringing you the content as long as you enjoy hearing it. Outside of that, folks, till next time, peace.